take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, July 18th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome back to beautiful legal potland, Oregon. We're coming to you from the 26th floor of the Ardea Towers here on the South Waterfront in Portland, Oregon, overlooking the Willamette River. And boy, folks, I tell you, this is a tough show for me today. It's been a tough weekend for me, actually. Somehow, I have ended up with some major lower back pain. Oh my God. I was out all day yesterday, literally in bed all day trying not to move for how bad my back hurts. And it's not for lack of cannabis medicine. I got plenty of that. Boy, I got to do something about this. And I hope this gets better soon because this is excruciating. I take back any sort of scoffing or disregard I held for people's back pain that they'd mentioned in the past, because this is killer. I can't believe this. Oh, my God. Anyway, let's get to the show here. Take my mind off of the pain that's going on here. And thanks to everyone out there, all my followers who've been sending me well wishes and all of their advice for how to deal with the back pain issues. Heat, ice, weed, yoga. That's a few of the things that have been no white starches. All sorts of advice. Thanks. Really appreciate that. But let's get to the show because we got plenty of stuff to cover on today's show. It is Monday, and it seems like it's been forever since we've been on for a Monday show where we get to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. So get ready at 5:30. Get your questions in our chat room because Dr. Mitch will be here with our cannabis Q&A. We'll be talking about all sorts of interesting studies that have been going on in the world of marijuana research. We've got that look at medical marijuana states versus pharmaceuticals. We've got the study on the brain's reward center to talk about. Savings for Medicare thanks to medical marijuana. We've got a look at sick time and productivity in states that have medical marijuana. And we've got a study on just how much marijuana is contained in an average joint. We'll get Dr. Mitch's take on that, plus another study on medical marijuana versus Alzheimer's disease. So lots to cover on the scientific front today with the world of medical cannabis. Also on the show today, we've got a look at drug testing. Talk about science or pseudoscience going on in here. In our drug war data mining segment, we're going to take a look at the state of Michigan, which is the latest of the United States to do this futile drug testing for welfare program. It fails every time. It's failed most spectacularly in Michigan. We'll give you the data on just how many poor people applying for welfare got caught up in the drug testing in Michigan. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant kind of on the same topic, which is a look at these companies that are crying over the fact that they can't find workers who will take and pass their drug tests. Oh my gosh, it's a terrible thing for the business world out there. They can't find enough people to work for them who will agree to give them a cup of their piss. We'll tell them what we think about that and what they can do to solve that problem. It's real simple. I'll bet you've even figured it out already. Also, we'll have time for a cannabis focus when we're getting behind the headlines today and take a look at the Democratic Party and their work on marijuana in the party platform, just how that came about and what else is going on with the Democrats and their party platform. But all that comes after the cannabis radio news. And in the headlines today, we look at Arizona, where it looks like legalization will be on the ballot. We've got Philadelphia, where the Philly Normal and DCMJ activists are going to protest the convention. In Atlanta, we've got that study on Medicare to tell you about. Hawaii's got a problem with their dispensaries. There's controversy in Maryland over a lawmaker and medical marijuana. There's roadside drug testing coming up in Michigan. And Randy Moss in the NFL sounds off about drug testing. All that coming up.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Thank you.
forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Oh, Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
We love the earth.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, inviting you to join me every weekday on CannabisRadio.com for the Russ Belville Show. It's the NPR of POT. We bring you the latest marijuana headlines, cannabis analysis, drug war data, activist interviews, radical rants, and your live calls. Join me every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, live only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the national wildlife refuge for marijuana unicorns.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, July 18th, 2016. Phoenix, Arizona. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws has endorsed the Arizona initiative to legalize marijuana that appears poised to make the 2016 ballot. Activists from the campaign turned in over 250,000 signatures for the initiative, which only requires around 150,000 valid signatures. However, a group called Arizonans for Responsible Drug Policy has filed suit to stop the initiative, claiming that proponents are misleading citizens about the full effect of the initiative. Legalization campaigner J.P. Holyoke called the lawsuit, quote, a desperate attempt, end quote, to defeat the popular initiative. The first hearing over the lawsuit will take place tomorrow. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Activists with Philly Normal and DCMJ will bring the infamous 51-foot marijuana joint to celebratory gatherings at the Democratic National Convention. With the Democratic Party platform likely calling for reform of the nation's marijuana laws and the city of Philadelphia having decriminalized personal marijuana possession, there will be numerous events aimed at increasing awareness of marijuana reform. On Sunday, July 24th, Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer will speak at a $250 fundraiser. At 4:20 p.m. on Monday, July 25th, activists will engage in a flash smoke-in to kick off the DNC celebrations, followed by an 8 to midnight free party. The inflatable joint will march through the streets on Thursday, July 28th, for a Cannabis Pride Parade to close the DNC. Atlanta, Georgia. A father and daughter researching at the University of Georgia have concluded that the legalization of medical marijuana nationwide could save Medicare almost $500 million annually. The pair looked at Medicare Part D payments for prescription drugs between 2010 and 2013. In the 17 states that had medical marijuana laws, they found doctors writing fewer prescriptions for the pharmaceuticals that medical marijuana can replace, but no change in other prescriptions for other drugs like blood thinners and antibiotics that marijuana can't replace. Most strikingly, doctors in medical marijuana states issued 1,826 fewer doses of painkillers. Honolulu, Hawaii. Hawaii medical marijuana dispensaries can now legally open, but not one is ready to do so. The State Department of Health said none of the state's 8 dispensaries was approved to open by July 15th, the first day they were allowed by law. One big hurdle is the state hasn't certified a lab to test the dispensary's products. The state hasn't yet received any applications from interested laboratories, said Janice Okubo, spokeswoman for the Department of Health. Spectra Analytical Lab is working on an application, but the lab needs to be certified as meeting international standards, said Michael Covington, lead chemist. If approved, the lab aims to open by December and would test products for potency and traces of substances like heavy metals and fungus, he said. Baltimore, Maryland. Controversy surrounds a state lawmaker who helped usher in medical marijuana in Maryland and who is now applying for one of the limited production licenses in the state. Delegate Dan K. Morhaime is the clinical director for a company seeking to grow, process, and sell medical marijuana, a fact he never disclosed in meetings with the Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission or during his time sponsoring the medical marijuana law in the assembly. Morhaime is denying any sort of conflict of interest and says he checked or cleared his activity with the Maryland General Assembly's ethics advisor. Lansing, Michigan. Michigan State Police are setting up their first 5 counties to become test sites for roadside drug impairment testing of drivers. In addition to traditional field sobriety tests, the police will be administering roadside saliva tests for the presence of marijuana, heroin, or cocaine. Michigan State Police Lieutenant Michael Shaw said that they will not be, quote, randomly testing people, end quote, but that, quote, there's still going to be probable cause for a traffic stop, just like it was, end quote. A recent New York Times Magazine expose showed that these cheap roadside drug detection kits are very unreliable. Los Angeles, California. Former NFL wide receiver and future Hall of Famer Randy Moss spoke out against testing for marijuana use among NFL players. Moss was open about his marijuana use during his career and criticized the league for considering marijuana use a character issue, referring to the case of a recent draft pick who was dinged for appearing on social media smoking pot. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, July 18th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the Democratic Party, which is hammering out its national party platform in advance of its convention next week. And lawmakers and observers have suggested that this is the most progressive platform in party history. A lot of that could be attributed to the surprise strong candidacy of Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders and his 1,900 some odd delegates applying pressure to the party platform process. Now, they didn't get everything they wanted. There's still a plank on fracking that didn't get accepted, a ban on fracking, on a way of finding public option health care, many things that were very important to those of us in the Bernie Sanders crowd. But on the issue of marijuana, marijuana reform, marijuana legalization, we definitely can say that this is a huge victory for the forces of progress. The preliminary draft that they've released on July 1st says that states should be laboratories of democracy on the issue of marijuana. And they say, quote, "We support policies that will allow more research on marijuana, as well as reforming our laws to allow legal marijuana businesses to exist without uncertainty. And we recognize our current marijuana laws have had an unacceptable disparate impact, with arrest rates for marijuana possession among African Americans far outstripping arrest rates among whites, despite similar usage rates," end quote. Now, that's in the draft. This could still go through some changes, some amendments, as it goes through the party platform committees at the Democratic National Convention. But this is certainly the furthest any of the two major parties have gone in officially recognizing marijuana reform in their party platform. The last time a Democrat was so strongly in favor of reforming laws was Jimmy Carter. And that's taken us back 40 years ago, 1975, 76. In 75, Jimmy Carter was running for president, promising the decriminalization of up to an ounce of marijuana, saying that the penalties for the use of a drug should not be more harmful to the person than the use of the drug itself. Unfortunately, by 1978, he was forced to drop that platform plank due to some drug scandals that took place in the White House in those latter years of the Carter administration. So it's been well over 35 years since we've had anything positive coming out of one of the two major parties on marijuana reform. Now, they talk about removing marijuana from Schedule 1 and moving it down to possibly Schedule 2. That's something we still haven't heard from the DEA, which had promised by the end of June to let us know what was happening with that possibility of rescheduling. The other thing that we have to take into account here is that the party platforms and the people running in that party don't always see eye to eye on these things. Bernie Sanders, of course, came across not only talking about marijuana legalization, but actually did something about it, filing the first bill ever in the Senate to legalize marijuana, to remove marijuana from the Federal Controlled Substances Act. Now, it didn't get anywhere, but he made good on his promise to do something about it. Hillary Clinton is not so sanguine on the idea of marijuana legalization as Bernie Sanders is. She's far more cautious in her approach. At the first Democratic presidential debate back in November, she said, quote, "I do support the use of medical marijuana, and I think even there we need to do a lot more research so that we know exactly how we're going to help people for whom medical marijuana provides relief," end quote. Now, that quote bothers me a little bit, I gotta tell you, because this idea that we need to do more research to recognize that marijuana is medicine, that it's working for these people, is ludicrous. They know it's working. We know it's working. It's not a secret anymore. Marijuana is medical. Cannabis is a medicine. When she talks about needing more research and to know exactly how we're going to provide relief for people, if you can hear the dog whistles in that to the pharmaceutical industry, then you've been listening to my show for a good long time, because that's what that statement was all about. That statement was a dog whistle out to her donors in the pharmaceutical industry that, yeah, I'm going to go forward with allowing medical marijuana, but we're going to go slow. We're going to take it down to Schedule 2. We're going to take it down to Schedule 3 so that the pharmaceutical companies can research marijuana, find out which components work for what. That's what she's talking about when she says to find out exactly how it works, so that her buddies in Big Pharma can put it together in a pill, a spray, an inhaler, a suppository, anything but a smokable bud. If you like these medical marijuana laws we've seen from the past few states out east, New York, Minnesota, these non-smokable forms, dispensary-only sales. If you like those kind of medical marijuana laws, that's the kind of medical marijuana Hillary Clinton is talking about.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Oh, thank you, Senator Franken. We appreciate that. It's 20 after, folks. That means it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. I sure hope you have the opportunity to take a good, strong, healthy safety meeting right now. I know I need one. My back needs 5. Oh, where are the dabs when I need them? We're back with Drug War Data Mining right after this.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
We do have John McAfee. He's running for the Libertarian Party nomination for president. What makes someone like you want to take the reins of this?
We are so far behind, it's frightening. And in a cyber war, we can't hack into the Chinese. Back in 1979, they started building cyber defense systems. We didn't even think about it until 20 years ago. I see no candidates and certainly no one within government capable of dealing with this issue.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I beat China all the time.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look yet again at the phenomenon known as drug testing for welfare. State after state has tried this, the idea being that we don't want our government welfare dollars going to anybody buying a bag of weed. Unfortunately, as they find out time and time again, it does nothing to stop anyone from getting a bag of weed, and it wastes the taxpayers' money more than if you'd have just given the drug users the welfare in the first place. The latest state to prove this is the state of Michigan, that has been running a pilot program for 8 months to drug test applicants and recipients for its welfare program. And in 8 months, they have turned up exactly zero. Zero positive tests. None. Zip. Zilch. Nada. They didn't get a single drug positive from anyone applying for welfare or anyone currently on welfare. They did this in 3 different counties. And what it does here, now, the states that have tried this previously, Florida tried this once. Florida tried this by drug testing everybody who applied for welfare. In 4 months, they got a really low rate, like a 1.6% rate, something like that, and ended up spending far more money than they would have saved on the welfare, right? But that only lasted for 4 months because a federal judge blocked it because it was unconstitutional. A drug test is a search and seizure, and even poor people have Fourth Amendment rights. So to require everyone to submit to a drug test, to send in their pee in a cup, to do that for everyone was unconstitutional because merely being poor and applying for, say, food stamps is not an indicator that you've committed a crime. It's not a probable cause, a reasonable suspicion, or even a hunch that you're a drug user. So it was unconstitutional. So the states that followed after Florida figured a way to get around it. They issue a test, a quiz, a questionnaire, if you will. And then based on your answers to that questionnaire, it might determine whether or not you need to be piss tested. In Michigan, it was a 50-question screening test that if you failed it, they could order you for a drug test. Well, first of all, you got to think about the people taking the test aren't complete idiots. They're going to take a 50-question quiz, and they start seeing some questions in there like, have you ever taken drugs in your life? And they're going to say, no. They're going to, you think people might lie on a quiz that determines whether or not they get to feed their kids and pay their rent? Yeah, I think maybe there's a few liars. But even past that, even ignoring the fact that, you know, a lot of people are going to lie in this test, as of May, for this 8-month program, they did manage to find 303 people who failed the screening. People who were either applying for the benefits or were already receiving the benefits. And out of those 303 people, zero. Zero positive drug tests. Now, the opponents of these tests, the proponents, of these tests, oftentimes get upset when we mention that, hey, you're not getting any success here, because they say, but what about the people who would have applied for welfare, but then don't apply for welfare because it's a drug test? Can't count them. You don't know how many there are. There's no count of how many people don't apply, right? Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt on that. What do you suppose those people that can't get welfare then go on to do? Do you suppose when rent's due, their kids are hungry, that they just sit back and not do anything? Or is it possible they might commit crimes? Yeah, think about that. But here's the thing. In the Michigan situation, no one in the pilot program refused to take a test. Now, again, that doesn't count the people who might have lied and never failed that quiz in the first place to be suspected to take a test. So that part, that little part may still exist. But of all the people, the 303 who failed the test, the quiz, I should say, none of them said, no, I'm not taking the drug test. They went ahead and did it. Now, what did this cost? What did this cost the people of the state of Michigan? Well, the appropriation from the legislature was $300,000. $300,000. Now, the people running the program say they've only spent $300 so far. Yeah, sure, whatever. But $300,000 was appropriated for this. And I have to report at the end of September is when this thing finally ends. It'll be this 1-year pilot, and then they'll have 60 days after that to report. But this is typical, folks. This is what happens when you drug test people for welfare. For one thing, the people that administer these tests forget a very salient point, and that's that drugs cost money. And poor people don't have a lot of that. And it's this mistaken idea that people who are drug users are slaves to the drug, who are going to, you know, abandon all other payments to anything else just so they can get their fix. That can be true in a small minority of cases, but the vast majority of the people who use drugs do so rationally. And if the choice is between paying rent, feeding the kids, and buying a bag, they pay the rent and they feed the kids. This is what we found in a lot of these other states. We had Arizona, zero positive tests. 10 states that have done this, that have had these little questionnaires to try to get drug test positives, have spent $850,000. This is in 10 states, $850,000, and have come up with aggregate 321 positives in 10 states. Wow. And of course, the drug test rate amongst the general population applying for regular old jobs is somewhere now around 4.7%. Double or more the rate of positives among the welfare-using population. Drug testing for welfare just doesn't work. We're back with Dr. Mitch right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who it seems like forever since we've talked to him. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
It's hot and humid here. What can I say?
Oh, yeah. It's hot and humid a lot of places. It's getting there here in Portland, Oregon, believe it or not. But glad to have you back. And we got so much to cover. But before we do, you've been away for a while. Anything you wanted to bring up before we get into the studies?
Would guess. So by all means, if it's working for you, please don't hesitate.
All right. And I'm having some difficulties getting the signal out to our listeners out there. So let me rearrange a couple of things and see if I can make this work so they can actually hear you, Dr. Mitch. That would kind of be helpful for the rest of the show, I think. So let's see if switching this one will do that. And there, let's see if you're back, Dr. Mitch. No, not happening. Okay. Let's see. What in the world have I done this time? It always seems like I got some problems going here. I can hear you just fine, Dr. Mitch.
Okay.
It's the people out there. So I'm going to continue on so we can get the recording done. And while that goes on, I'll see if I can get you in here on the rest of the live stream. But the first thing I wanted to cover here were some of the studies that had happened. And the one big one, I covered this a little bit, but it was this study at a University of Georgia where they took a look at Medicare and how it really revealed pretty conclusively that medical marijuana is replacing a lot of prescription drugs. What can you tell us about that?
It's funny because the way it's been written up is sometimes a little bit confusing, but what we're seeing is really just very small individual changes in prescription drug use in states where medical marijuana is legal. But what a surprise, you multiply that by the literally millions and millions of folks who are on Medicare, and it adds up to quite a lot of money. Now, I got to admit, there's really a range here. These guys made some assumptions that other folks might argue with, but I think this is a fair middle-of-the-road estimate that $470 million annually really could be saved if we had federal medical marijuana access. And, you know, you think about it, here's a plant that's markedly cheaper than damn near any prescription drug, and the kind of thing that, you know, could really help a whole lot of people just a little bit, and some people a whole lot. It's going to add up. It just makes sense.
One of the things I found interesting in this is that they took a look at the, you know, things like painkillers, anti-anxiety, anti-nausea, but they also took a look at blood thinners and other drugs that wouldn't be replaced by medical marijuana. And what was the result there?
Well, it's curious because you wouldn't expect there to be much of a change, and in fact, there really wasn't. And I think that makes me feel like the controls, if you will, are pretty reasonable. So to say, look, it's going to help these particular pharmaceutical drugs, as you'd expect, given what we know about cannabis, makes me feel like this isn't just some statistical fluke.
All right. Loving that report. And let's take a look at another study that came out recently. This one coming out from the University of Michigan says that marijuana use dampens the response area of the brain with that responds to rewards. That, in other words, we smoke a lot of pot, it's going to damage our brain's reward circuits. Is this something we need to fear?
It's interesting because the hypothesis seemed a little far-fetched when I first heard it. And to tell the truth, when you look at the data, the effect is really small. And so the small decrease in the amount of dopamine that's released is, you know, usually some index of how pleasurable you find something. But I notice they don't have subjective ratings of pleasure or anything like that. And sort of the tacit assumption here is, oh, everybody who smokes pot's not going to enjoy the normal social and, you know, academic or financial rewards anymore, and they'll turn into these slugs, and it'll be, you know, a motivational syndrome all over again. But in fact, we aren't seeing that in, you know, real humans in real big cases. So I'm delighted that they did, you know, three MRIs across time over 4 years with a reasonable sample, 108 people in this, smoke more marijuana, end up with this decreased dopamine response. Again, they're not randomly assigned, so I don't know. Were these folks clinically depressed? Was there something else that might really account for the decreased dopamine release? And they might have actually been medicating for that with the cannabis. And unless we're going to randomly assign folks to smoke cannabis for 4 years, I'm afraid we're not going to know the answer to that one.
Okay, so really making more out of this than what they've got.
I'm afraid so.
Okay. Another study that we've got to look at comes from this is good news study, as far as I'm concerned. The Wiley Online Library published this one on states with medical marijuana having a decline in sick time taken by employees. Wow. What could be the meaning behind this one?
What's curious is there also is a really compelling mechanism, and it wasn't just globally across everybody. It really was among the folks who you would guess, sort of males our age, a little younger and a little older. And I think it's really intriguing that, again, we have a relatively small effect, but as you add those days up across the entire workforce, it really makes a big difference. And I know people are thinking, you know, glaucoma, epilepsy, Crohn's disease, stuff like that, but it's funny how getting to work can sometimes be the way to cheer yourself up when you've got some kind of chronic illness, and getting yourself to feel good enough to head on in makes such a difference in your quality of life. And so, you know, when you look at literally hundreds of thousands of people, you find small effects really add up. And sure enough, we really could have fewer sick days if we had medical cannabis available nationwide.
So is this a case of people getting better relief from medical cannabis and therefore being able to work more? Or is it the fact that medical cannabis is the only relief they got and they didn't have any medicine before, and here's, you know, finally something affordable for them?
What's intriguing is they don't really break it down by disorder. So all we have are just, hey, it looks like having medical marijuana around makes it so people show up. I think the, you know, subjective experience is much like you'd guess, is you get up and, you know, you're hurting all over the you know, a half a gram with your coffee, and suddenly things don't look so bad, and you're happy to walk right in. Without that, maybe you would call in sick.
Okay. So a lot of this could be, you know, improvements in mental health as well.
Exactly. I think just anything that would contribute to that decision to hop on over to the job.
All right. I love that, because one of the things we hear from our opponents all the time is that, oh, we legalize marijuana, there's going to be this huge drop in productivity. And I'd always laugh at that when I think of the nicotine smokers getting a 20-minute break every 2 hours.
That's a fine example. And data from Costa Rica and places where there's a lot of physical labor as part of their GNP, actually it's the folks who have access to cannabis who seem to be bringing home the bigger paychecks and making more money. Again, it's not randomly assigned, but sort of consistent with the same idea.
Now, this next story we've got, it interests me in particular because you and I are such data junkies, and we're always poring over these reports about how many joints someone smoked or how long they smoked and what effect it had. But this is a study on what exactly is a joint. And they found that we've been overestimating how large our joints are, unless they live here in Oregon. What can you tell us about this, Dr. Mitch? And why is it a big deal to know how big a joint is?
Well, we've always tried to have some kind of standard unit of cannabis. We've got a standard drink in alcohol, but that has wasted a lot of journal space just arguing back and forth. And I'm really suspicious of some of the assumptions on this, because this was all essentially calculated based on data that were already available and just didn't seem to have the... Sorry about that.
See, the average joint getting in on us there.
Yeah,
reggae music. All right.
It just seems to rest on some assumptions that I think are questionable. So I'm actually going to ask all our listeners to each mail me a joint at Cannabis Radio, and I will measure them all, and I will report the average. And that no. Obviously, what happens is that, you know, you rest on certain assumptions, and I feel like the thing to do is actually get a sample of folks to come in and roll some joints. But as soon as you do that, what do they say? Well, you want a pinner? You want a big one? What am I rolling? Right? And then suddenly you find out this individual difference is a big deal. But generally, we've assumed that each joint was a gram. These results suggest that it's probably markedly less than that. I'm worried that this is going to get turned into some alarmist thing of, oh, we thought pot was bad at this dosage, but really it's bad at only a third of that. Mm. And it's really resting only on assumptions from data we've already gathered.
Mm. And it's so variable, because we don't know, are you using double wide papers, 1 1/4s? Are you using the long papers? Are you using machine? You hand rolling? Are you using cones? I mean, there's so much variability in this. I wish you had a better way to come up with a standard, but we'll find something.
And then you look at the smoking topography, too. We notice that people automatically take smaller hits and hold them a little less long if it's stronger cannabis. I mean, it's amazing how you have to really account for all of this stuff, and I'm not sure that it can be done.
I think there would be a lot of geographic and legal variability as well. I know the joints I roll here are a lot bigger than the joints I rolled in Idaho. All right, let's get to our final study for the day here. More good news on the medical cannabis front. A new study says marijuana could help protect the brain from Alzheimer's disease. We've heard a couple of things about Alzheimer's and Alzheimer's plaques. This one's coming out of the June 2016 issue of Nature. What's the good news on this as far as marijuana and Alzheimer's goes?
I was so delighted to see this, because I was worried at first it's going to be just a rehashing of data we've already seen. But this is actually a new data set, separate lab, independent look at those fibrillary tangles, the tau protein that seems to be the hallmark of Alzheimer's. And it's definitely decreased with THC and some other cannabinoids. And I hear all the hemming and hawing, but now we've seen this in multiple labs, and given the negative consequences that are potential for, oh my God, cannabis dependence, we have to take these data really seriously. But I've got to admit, it's time to start testing all our friends 60 and over who have been regular cannabis smokers for so long, and starting to look at real symptoms and real cognitive functioning, because we've got enough animal work here to suggest that if this were any other substance, we'd be all over it. And we have markedly worse drugs being used as treatments for Alzheimer's right now. So the time has come to lift the ban and let folks with beginning Alzheimer's get a chance at these strong cannabinoids.
Yeah, I've seen some memes go around saying that researchers have looked at the older demographics and finding those Summer of Love baby boomers aren't getting Alzheimer's at the same rate the previous generation did. Is there any truth to that?
Nobody has been able to publish it, but yeah, at least two people have emailed me saying, based on some rather crude measures, just some of these five-item measures of just your cognitive functioning, it looks like it's happening. And I think, in fact, if they had more sensitive measures, we'd actually see things being dramatically better. It's sad because I tend to remember folks in ways that are consistent with my own biases. But, you know, you've been around enough MFS and normal conferences to know the older folks are really hopping and doing just fine.
Yeah, they seem to be. All right. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is the host of Burning Issues right here on CannabisRadio.com. And you can also reach him by email at 420research@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next Monday, Dr. Mitch. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be back.
And my apologies to the live listeners who are unable to hear that, but I hope you catch it on my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/RadicalRuss.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption. Let's grow together.
The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
As marijuana legalization is heading to the November 2016 ballot, we've got five states that may add to the four that are currently legal. That is California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maine. And particularly with those first three, California, Arizona, and Nevada, means that we will have an entire West Coast and Southwest of the United States where marijuana is legal. An entire time zone where marijuana is legal virtually. So the question becomes, what happens for those companies that want to maintain a so-called drug-free workplace? Now, don't worry, we're not talking about real drug-free workplace, like you can't smoke cigarettes or can't have a beer at lunch with the boys, or can't get a ibuprofen from the receptionist when you got a headache. You can't get an antihistamine from your coworker. Not talking really drug-free. Right. This illusion of drug-free, right? So the question becomes, as these states legalize, what happens to the drug-free workplace? What happens to states, in those states, to the companies that want to get a cup of your pee before they'll let you work for them? Well, the shorthand answer is not much. Already in these states that have medical marijuana laws, the state Supreme Courts in Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, and Michigan have all ruled on various cases that basically come down to you don't have a right to smoke pot. You can be fired from your job. You don't get any job protection. Now, some of these states that are passing initiatives, a couple of them have some employment protections, but California is not one of them. California will be just like Oregon and Washington in their legalization, in that you can still be fired for being a legal marijuana user. There's a story in the LA Weekly about this, and they spoke to Edward Yost. He's a human resources guy. Groups called the Society for Human Resource Management, so all these HR professionals. And he says, once marijuana is legalized, that will protect you from prosecution. However, it doesn't protect your job. He's right. And his follow-up is the problem. He says, quote, most employers do testing because they don't want employees doing something and coming to work, whether that's drugs or alcohol. Alcohol is legal, but you can't drink it on the job, end quote. This, of course, unleashes the biggest issue with drug testing for marijuana. And that is, unlike all the other drugs you might be drug testing for, marijuana is the one that stays in your system the longest. Nobody is talking about being able to smoke a joint at the work site. But just like this guy says, alcohol is legal, but you can't drink it on the job. Well, marijuana is legal and you can't smoke it on the job, but drug testing doesn't tell us that you were smoking on the job, or even immediately before the job, or even a week before the job. All these other drugs that are drug tested for, methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, LSD, psilocybin, MDMA, all these drugs that are tested for, you could party on those drugs on a Saturday night and turn up clean on the test Monday morning. But not marijuana. Marijuana is going to stick in your system anywhere from 3 to 30 days, depending on how much you use, how often you use, and what your body fat looks like. So this is a situation where legalization of marijuana is going to expose the second-class citizenship of us marijuana consumers. And it's going to become increasingly difficult for these companies to maintain a straight face about the need for drug testing for marijuana in a place where it's legal. And increasingly, we find the sky doesn't fall when it's legal. Already, we talked to Dr. Mitch about that study about fewer sick days amongst cannabis consumers. We've seen the study about fewer pharmaceutical prescriptions in the medical marijuana states. Who would you rather have driving the forklift next to you? The guy that uses medical marijuana at night or the guy that's using OxyContin right now? Well, it's a trick question because both of them are equally safe. People can do their jobs on OxyContin. They do it all the time. And people can do their jobs as medical marijuana patients. They do it all the time. But these drug testers, while these employers maintain their right to drug test, and in many cases, these initiatives underscore that, they go ahead and say, yes, you maintain your right to a drug-free workplace. This legalization does not change the drug-free workplace. While that's the law, what's happening in the culture is an entirely different thing. First of all, according to that Society for Human Resource Management, in 2013, they did a report, and in that report, they found that 78% of the employers conduct some sort of drug testing on some portion of their workforce. Not the management, of course, not the creatives. You know, the lower end of the workforce, usually. So they found, 4 out of 5 places where you could work are going to drug test. If it's in the transportation industry, it's 98%. Now, of those people that are drug testing, 90% are screening job candidates. That means 9 out of 10 are doing it, as part of the job hire process. 71% are screening current employees. Only 32% are screening temporary or contract workers. So as long as, like, basically the drug test is just a test as to whether or not you get a real salary and some benefits. I worked most of my life as an IT contractor for that very reason, that they didn't drug test. So we used to work harder, get paid less, and take all the shit jobs in IT because our pee had metabolites in it, and we didn't want to take a test for that. Most of these places are drug testing with urine tests, 95%. 11% do saliva tests, 7% do blood, 7% do hair. Now, that adds up to more than 100 because there could be multiple tests going on. So they still maintain this right to do so. They still maintain this right to be able to drug test. The question is culturally, will they be able to continue doing that? There's a great story in the New York Times from last May about these heavy equipment manufacturers holding a job fair. And when they mentioned there'd be drug testing, about half the people at the job fair left. And employers all over the country are saying, oh, it's difficult to find employers who can pass a workplace drug test. And this has gone up, by the way. Our positives have gone up. Ever since 1985, when Quest Diagnostics started looking at drug testing, and they found that about 13% of the people in the workforce were testing positive for drugs, that's been in decline ever since then. Every year, it's gone down, how many people they get a positive drug test out of, down to about the 3% range, until 2 years ago. Their 2013 numbers, they found they raised up to something like 4.1%, from 3.7 to 4.1, and the last year, up to 4.7. More people are testing positive. And of course, what most people test positive for is marijuana. And of course, what's happened since 2012 is some states have legalized marijuana. So these employers are all upset that they can't find workers who will pass the drug test. They say many job seekers just don't bother to show up at the drug testing place. The number one reason they can't hire enough workers is they can't find enough people to pass a drug test. That's a quote from the governor of Georgia. So the question here is, in Colorado, they have this Colorado company saying it's unheard of to find a roofer or a painter that can pass a drug test. Another guy says, I was trying to recruit workers, and as soon as I said criminal background check or drug test, they're out the door. What do you know? The American people are starting to rebel against the idea that their employer needs to stick their nose into their private business. Good for you, American workers. Let's do some more of this. I want to see. And in fact, you know what we ought to do? Is we ought to go through the entire hiring process and fail the drug tests. We ought to be applying for jobs that we know we're going to fail, just to force them to take the time and to take the expense of getting that drug test failure. If more of us took these drug tests and failed them, and those drug test failure numbers kept going up and up and up and up, there would be some point at which the employers would have to go, you know what, this is not doing us any good. All we're doing is losing good employees that we happen to randomly catch and keeping good employees from signing up with us because we put this privacy-killing drug test in front of them before they can get a job. I really believe, and I hope I live long enough to see this, I want to be an old man telling the kids how employers used to ask for your pee before you could get a job. I think at some point in our future, that is going to be as inconceivable as the concept of chattel slavery. What? You used to own people? What? You used to require pee before they could work? Just as insane. All right, not just as insane. Slavery, far worse. Let's be clear. But it's absurd. They're both absurd. I mean it in the sense of looking back from the future, you would think it's insane. Don't want to get letters on that one. Hey, folks, that's all the time I got for hour one. Thanks for joining us. We got another hour coming to you here from beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon. And then following that hour, you get an hour of Stoner Jesus coming live at the 5 o'clock hour Pacific time. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care. care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.